Well, a God morning. Welcome back to the God School. I've been missing for about a week. I got a vacation. I had a good time. I rested in the natural. Had some time to ponder some things. And I believe what we're about to start is going to be a long series of putting God on display through His Word, that our faith, that is, your faith and my faith, might be strengthened. Today we're going to start in the 89th Psalm. Now, in this psalm, there are a multitude of messages. We're going to concentrate today on at least one of the messages contained here in Psalm 89. It begins with a heading, a psalm for Ethan, the Ezrahite, to give instruction. First thing I'm going to tell you is this is not a descendant, as one might think, of Ezra, the way it's spelt, but this is written by a descendant of Zara. It's not the message today. It will be included in this series. And the psalmist starts, unlike what many people believe, David did not write all the psalms. Here's one from a son, a descendant of Zara. He says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever with my mouth. Will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations? For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness shall you establish in the very heaven. That's the psalmist speaking. Now enters the word of God. God says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah means think of that. and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. That brings this psalm not only to the attention of God's faithfulness to David in what he promised, but also to all those whom God has called, to those whom God has chosen for himself, to all those who are separated unto God. He goes on to say, for who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? King James translates verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. The word being translated here, feared, is to be awesome. God is awesome to those whom he has set apart. That is the assembly of the saints. O Lord God of hosts, the psalmist says, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken, translated, Egypt in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with a strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, as for the world and the fullness thereof, you have founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Justice and judgment throne are of your throne, mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance, in the light of your presence. God promised to his people that he would never leave them nor forsake them. Jesus said, I shall be with you always. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. As I said in the beginning, there are a series of wonderful messages contained in this psalm. This will not be the last time or the last day that we shall be exploring it. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy grace, our horn shall be exalted. Horn here, folks, it's a symbol of strength. It's a symbol of might. It speaks of power. What did it say in Psalm 3? Thou art a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head, exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in a vision to thy Holy One. Verse 18, Holy One is God. Verse 19, he's now speaking of David. Then thou spakest in a vision, Second Samuel 7, to the Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon thee. I have laid help upon mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of my people. I have found David my servant. And with my holy oil, have I anointed him. Type of the oil is that type of the Spirit of God. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. A Hebrew word here is amatz. It means to be alert. It has to do with the mental side of good courage. It means to fortify, be steadfastly minded. It means also to be obstinate. You know, I think there have been many times in my life when that word obstinate has been used. In a pejorative sense, I would say here, mine arm also shall strengthen him. That is, I'm going to put him in a position where he's not going to change his mind. Remember repentance in the New Testament means a new mind. God, to those whom he has called, to those whom he has chosen for himself, by faith has repented, that is, given them a new mind. Praise the Lord. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. Whoo! I like it. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn, says it again, be exalted, his power be exalted. In whose name? Not in David's name. He says, in the name of the Lord. I will set his hand also in the sea. And his right hand in the rivers. This is a little clue about what's coming, folks. Not today, but it's coming. This phrase, I will set his hand also in the sea. It means to the west. Speaking about David. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. God speaking, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore. My covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. I want to back up here for a second. In the first verse, in the second verse, in the fifth verse, in the eighth verse, in the 24th verse, there's a word. And it's being translated out of the Hebrew into English, faithfulness. In the Hebrew language, there are two principal words, and I know many of you have heard this before, but hopefully there may be some new listeners out there that have not heard it before. So here we go. In the Old Testament, there are two words principally translated to believe or to trust. One of the words is batach, and it means to lean upon a staff. With your whole weight, with the expectation that the staff shall be able to support you. The other word in the Hebrew is hasa. Oft translated to trust or to believe. But the Hebrew hasa means to run to the shelter of a mother bird's wings or the shelter of a rock, that by doing so, that is running to that shelter, you shall be protected. There is a third word in the Hebrew that, again, principally is translated believed. That's the word that's used, that's the root of the word that's used to translate all these verses I just numbered. And the word of the Hebrew is, it's spelt in the Hebrew, Aleph, Mem, Nun. Our letters, A-M-N. How's it pronounced? Just like it sounds. Amen. In Genesis 15, and Genesis is a book of beginnings wherein God in reporting on the relationship with Abraham, in our Bibles it says, and Abraham believed God, and it, that is, his belief, was accounted by God for righteousness. In Romans 1:17, it says, therefore, the just, as it is written, the just, that is, no, not just, the righteous, by faith shall live. Many would say the righteous by believing shall live. What Genesis 15 says is that Abraham amened God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. What this psalm is saying . Let me back up a moment. This word, amen, it is the most transliterated word in the languages of the world. Amen. You know, it's the same word in English as it is in Chinese and in Japanese. It's the same word in Hebrew. It's the same word in Spanish. It's the most transliterated word in the world. And yet, many in the church have the understanding that it's like what you use at the end of a prayer. You know, here, Lord, are my needs. Amen. You say, so be it. No, it's not what it means, folks. What is declared of the father of faith, Abraham, is that he had no doubt in what God had promised him. The ultimate amener is God. When he speaks, no doubt that what he has said is. Whether seen or unseen, it is. And in all these verses, in verse 1, in verse 2, in verse 5, in verse 8, in verse 24, is. But my amenness, my no doubt, don't put any doubt in what I say. I have God speaking, no doubt in what I say. And my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand in the west and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. I will make him, my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forever. And his throne, forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. Same word, folks, as translated in the previous verses, faithfulness, my covenant. Shall have no doubt with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne is the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, I hope you all got your hands raised. Then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. I got mine. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness, my amenness to my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me, it shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness, that is a witness of no doubt in heaven. Selah, think of that. I'm pausing because you're supposed to think about that for a minute. Because what's being said here is God, in his faithfulness, wherein there is no doubt, he says David is going to have a throne on earth as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon. Sun come up today. If you can see it, did the moon come up tonight? If you can't see it, did the moon come up tonight? Yes. Yes is the answer to those questions. And God says, David is to have a throne. Let's go on. The 38th verse opens with a but. Oh, here, the psalmist and God are speaking to us of God's faithfulness, that he's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. As he said, so shall he do. As he has spoken, so shall it be. And now we have this psalmist who's made all these declarations, and now comes a but. What does he say? But thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of the sword and has not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease. Thou hast cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth thou hast shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah, think of that. Here's the natural man speaking. And unfortunately, I would say, so much of those who call themselves the Church of the Living God, they're not seeing the promise, and they're saying, but God, they have allowed circumstance to influence their faith more than the faithfulness of God. Because they don't see it, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, That is, those things that God has declared of himself to his people, the evidence of things not seen. Lord, help us to ever trust in your promises and not allow circumstance to influence our faith. He goes on to say, how long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? You know, 45th chapter of Isaiah says, truly, Lord, thou art a God that hidest thyself. God has gifted by his grace unmerited favor he has gifted faith but if the faith were never tested how would we know we had faith God hides things. He declares, ladies and gentlemen, not to the audience of the God School, but perhaps to religious people who might be listening to this, who have confidence in their self-righteousness. Because of what they see. Because life has been good to them because they are good. Don't make me laugh. How long, Lord? Wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? No comment. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? We are going to show off where these loving kindnesses which God swear unto David. In truth. He's asking the question. We here at the God School are going to give the answer. You gotta hang on. It's not today, but it's coming. Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants. How do I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people? Wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed, of thy chosen, of your church. The psalmist ends by saying, blessed the Lord forevermore. The word is Baruch. It means to kneel, to humbly adore the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. No doubt, no doubt, he hasn't seen it, but he concludes, I will praise the Lord forevermore. We all do find ourselves in circumstance that seem to deny his promises, that seem to detract from his power, that seem to deny God's faithfulness, and we have to, by his grace, grab hold of these promises with the understanding that he spoke and nothing became everything. His word, that is God's word, is more substantial than all that we see, feel, or hear. We need to continue to be encouraged by the declarations made in that Psalm 89. And as I said, we will be back to it. But for now, I want to leave you with this. The second chapter of the book of Habakkuk. It was so important to God. He said in the second verse, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that is, tables of stone. Write it the same way those Ten Commandments were written, that he may run that readeth it. That we might continue. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. I'm going to correct the King James right now. Though he tarry, wait for him, because he will surely come. He will not be late. But last part of the fourth verse of the second chapter of Habakkuk. But the just, King James translation, shall live by his faith. My pastor, Dr. Scott, gave the literal translation of this last part of the fourth verse. I'll share it with you. It says, the righteous of me one, that is, the one whom God gives righteousness to, by the amen of him, shall live. By the amen of him, Jesus is whom God is speaking of here. Jesus had no doubt, in spite of what he was about to go through, that God, because he promised, and because he is righteous, that is, a keeper of covenant, a keeper of promises, an amen God, Jesus had no doubt that God would raise him up. The amen. It's a state of mind wherein no doubt exists. Being in this flesh, I believe it's impossible to live continuously, perpetually, in an amen state of mind. But by God, by his Spirit, there are times that we can reach up, and where our amen touches the amen of God, wherein, in spite of what we see, we shall Amen, God. We shall grab hold of his promises. We shall lean upon our God. We shall run to our God. And shall be saved. And that's the God School for today.